Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
It is that time of the week. Rich Casanova here, hosting and actually co-hosting. I'm going to introduce our co-host in just a moment. But you're just joining us. It's Buckhead Business Radio X. It's our weekly show. And we have a special episode with a special host, co-host, and in honor of Veterans Day. So, Ryan McPherson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy Veterans Day to you and everyone out there listening.
Absolutely, to all our listeners. And we have some gentlemen here that have served. Right, in the military, as well as have contributed and volunteered in different capacities.
That's right, and still continuing to serve the community of veterans out there. Yeah. But before we get started, I'd like to go ahead and read a little bit about Veterans Day.
Okay.
So our listeners are up to speed on that. Veterans Day originated November 11th, 1919, the first anniversary of the end of World War I. Congress later passed a resolution in 1926 for the annual observance, and November 11th became a national holiday in 1938. Veterans Day is not to be confused with Memorial Day, a common misunderstanding according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Memorial Day, the fourth Monday in May, honors American service members who died in service to their country or as a result of injuries occurred during battle, while Veterans Day pays tribute to all Americans, living or dead, and especially those living veterans who have served their country honorably during war and peacetime.
That's good information, because I know you sent that to me yesterday, and it's like we honor it every year and we recognize it, but it's interesting to hear the backstory and how it originally came about.
Yeah, and knowing that there is almost 20 million veterans in America today.
Wow.
And growing every day. So we want to make sure we honor those, not only today, but every day going forward.
And I know you have some great guests here. So normally I'm hosting the show. Today I'm just going to be having fun just to be able to kick back and let you kind of take the reins and take over the airwaves. I'll be doing some engineering, also some photos for social media. So Ryan, having said that, who do you have in the, what folks do you have in the studio this
morning? Well, we're going to introduce our wonderful guest here today. First, to my right, is Mr. George Orlandini. He is with Team Red and White and Blue. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good morning. And seated next to him is from Kellen Company, and Mr. Zach Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure. Welcome to the show. And then also joining us today is from the Wounded Warrior Project, Mr. Jason Larravee. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Ryan. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. And Veterans Empowerment Organization Representative, Mr. Brandon Bryce. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me, and that's VEO.
VEO, that's right.
Nice.
All right. And so we'll talk a little bit about that first, Veterans Empowerment Organization. And Mr. Brandon Bryce, he earned a bachelor's degree in business administration from Howard University, a master's of science in international affairs from Rutgers University, and is currently completing his executive master's in public administration from Columbia University. Brandon has interned on Capitol Hill in the office of former United States House Speaker Dennis Hastert. Spell that right? Pronounce that right?
That's it.
And served as a fellow with the Heritage Foundation and the United Nations. Brandon began his career as an associate with the National Urban League and later became a senior organizer for their Obsidian Development Corporation, being an advocate for seniors' rights and at-risk youths. In less than 2 years, Brandon was appointed to serve the former Director of Education and African-American Affairs of the New Jersey Governor, Chris Christie, and was later appointed to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Brandon currently served as a regular featured columnist for the Washington Times and now is a columnist for the Community's Digital News. Mm-hmm. Brandon currently serves as Director of Strategic Partnerships and Resource Development for the Veterans Empowerment Organization.
Yes.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well.
Good. Happy Veterans Day to you. So tell a little more about yourself and what Veterans Day means to you.
Well, Veterans Day to me doesn't just stop at a day. Veterans Day is a yearly and should be a yearly recognized event for those men and women who have served and have offered the greatest sacrifice, which is their lives. And so it's important that we not only forget or not forget what they have done for us, but continue to serve those vets. And that's what VEO has done. VEO has been a catalyst to help those guys, those men and women, specifically men, get back on their feet, particularly homeless veterans or those veterans that have found it very hard or difficult to transition back into civilian life.
No.
And so one of the things we've done is we have many opportunities where we house vets. We put them through the full continuum of care, and then we put them through our social enterprise piece, a way to get them back into the workforce. And we do it through our recipe, or what we call our special sauce, of getting those servicemen back on their feet. And we've served over 2,000 homeless veterans since 2007, and we're growing and we're moving.
Oh, love it. That sounds good. And so when did Veterans or VEO get started?
2007. Okay. The founder, Franz Fortune, birthed it out of the understanding that although government wanted to help, there was a gap in those veterans being able to come back from combat, from any form of war. And there was an issue where it was a time issue where, it takes time to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to find housing. And unfortunately, the rent is due on time.
Yes.
And so we're that organization that creates that safe haven for many veterans when they come back. And we are in the emphasis of not only making sure that veterans find employment, but that they also keep employment.
So you provide training and you provide counseling.
Training, mental health counseling. We provide an opportunity for veterans to get back into our workforce program through our social enterprise piece, which is we own a thrift store and a few other small businesses mm-hmm. that we use to build that work ethic back. Mm-hmm. When you've been on the streets for 5 and 10 years, it's very difficult to get back into living under a bridge or then going to work for UPS.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make sure that we can get those veterans transitioned back and making sure that they can keep and sustain employment.
So you look at it holistically. You find...
Absolutely.
You give them the opportunity to grow as an individual and then get back out there and feel confident about their skills in the workforce.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I would say that we champion is that our job is not to decide what is success for a veteran. Our job is to make sure that that veteran knows what is success for them, and we help bridge that gap. And that's very important when you talk about what is success. Some veterans may want to stay under the bridge. Some mm-hmm. veterans may want mm-hmm. that help. And so mm-hmm. we're there to give a helping hand when they need it.
Is there one particular hurdle that you find veterans find time and time again when they're trying to transition, one that you continuously work with them on?
Well, I mean, there's a few things. There's dealing with the issues of mental health. There's dealing with the issues of lack of skills. There's dealing with the issue of veterans not being prepared. And let's be clear, many of our veterans, men and women, the military, in many cases, was a last option.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming back to an economy that is not as good as it was prior to them leaving. And so that's why that social enterprise piece is so critical, because it's giving those folks, those men, the skills mm-hmm. That they need to succeed. And also, it's really taking the skills that they learned in the service and applying it to real-world activity.
And you find some of those skills that they learn in the military actually are helpful in the civilian workforce.
Well, it's extremely helpful. And I think one of the things is that it's going to take the workforce the effort to say, how do we bridge through human resource tactics, how do we bridge the skills that a veteran may learn working on a nuclear reactor
mm-hmm.
Or working on a tank to bring that up to speed to working for Sprint or Nextel? I mean, there's stories that I've heard where veterans have worked on nuclear reactors and haven't been able to get a job at Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the things that we face. And so it's really bridging that gap between the workforce and bridging that gap between our veteran servicemen.
Do you find, generally speaking, a lack of understanding in the workforce and what the veterans have to offer, that you have to educate them as well?
Well, we do. And that's why we have many programs aligned around partnerships. It really comes down to partnerships. I know we were in D.C. a while back, and certain officials basically came to us and mentioned that although we want to help, government will not be able to help. And so now it's really down to the public interest. It's really down to our corporate partnerships. It's really down to volunteers that will help bridge this veterans crisis in America. And let me be clear on some of the facts. Right here in Atlanta, there are over 1,600 homeless veterans living in the metro Atlanta area. Nationally, there are around 300,000. Recently, the First Lady said that there were 58,000. With all due respect, the First Lady was about 250,000 short. And so we have to be very clear that this is a crisis that is not going anywhere, and this is a crisis that is continuing to grow. And so, from our mouth to God's ears, we'd like to have a VEO in every state and every 50 states to end this issue.
So you're only currently in Atlanta?
We are based in Atlanta. However, 75% of our clientele is not from Atlanta.
Is that right?
They're finding it, and they're finding a way down here.
And they're coming to you to get that help that they need.
Absolutely.
Right, tell us a little more about the homeless crisis here in Atlanta in general, and then the veterans specifically, and what we can do to help.
Well, one of the things is with homelessness, you really have to stem it out. Homelessness is a circumstance. It's not a condition. You can lose a job. You can have a nervous breakdown. We've had some of our veterans who have come back and have lost family members. Some of our veterans have come back and have succumbed to substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that we get rid of the mystique that anyone can't be homeless. We are all three or four paychecks away from being on the streets. However, Our focus is to look at the circumstance and cure the circumstance. And that's how we've been successful in terms of getting our men out, our servicemen back on their feet, mm-hmm. and really defining what is success for people. Mm-hmm. I can't define success for you.
It's an individual.
And Ryan, you can't define success for me. Right. But if you can tell me what is success for you, I can help you get there. And that's mm-hmm. what makes VEO special.
Good. And it sounds like you're doing good things there. And
absolutely.
You notice a program you're working on, Adopt a Vet program.
Yes. I'm glad you asked. So the Adopt a Vet program is where corporate interests or private donors, yourself, Ryan, if you choose, mm-hmm. Can literally sponsor one, two, or three veterans. There's a certain cost that it cost us to actually take care of that veteran, and that's the whole continuum of care, getting them off the streets, getting them into a continuum of care, food, clothing, and shelter, mm-hmm. three meals a day, making sure they have a roof over their head, and then finally training them and getting them back into the workforce. And that's a very small price to pay for such a big difference in making someone or making a veteran's life change.
Well, I love it, the sound of that. Right. So if somebody wants to adopt a vet, is it just through financial donations, or can they do some support, volunteer, or anything like that?
Well, we have three programs. We have our Serve a Vet, we have our Adopt a Vet, and we have our Hire a Vet. Our Serve a Vet is where organizations can come out and serve our veterans a meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or all three if you choose.
Okay.
We have our Hire a Vet.
Where do you do that?
Well, we do it at our campus.
Okay.
Located at 373 Westlake. Down the street from the Georgia Dome.
I love it.
So all you Falcons fans, come march a mile down.
Pre-game or post-game.
Pre-game or post-game, yeah. Doesn't matter. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then it also creates an opportunity where you can participate in our Hire a Vet, where corporations can come out and invest in us to get that veteran back on their feet and put them back into that training opportunity. And so it's a win-win. If you can't adopt a vet through your treasury, if you can't hire a vet mm-hmm. Through your talent, mm-hmm. and if you can't serve a vet through your time, then there's a way that we all can be involved to get our veterans back to work.
Very good. Do you find that you have veterans themselves coming back to help out and volunteer with the organization?
Absolutely. We have a graduate alumni organization that a lot of our graduates come back and support those veterans who have been in that transition. And that's helped because it creates an opportunity where that veteran mm-hmm. can say, well, if I can make it through, you can too.
Good.
We have a powerful story. One of our veterans went on a street outreach team, one of our clients, and he was homeless. And he recognized another client that he was on the streets with, and that was the reason we were able to bring that guy in. And so it really comes down to focusing on the vet, focusing on how do we address the issue of the vet. When vets come in, there's typically two issues. There's either a mental or substance mm-hmm. abuse issue, mm-hmm. or it could be the issue of just job loss mm-hmm. and not having enough time. Our case managers address that issue immediately and effectively, and we're able to get those guys out in 6 to 9 months.
I love it. And can you share with our listeners maybe a recent success story of one of the guys you helped out?
Absolutely. We have a guy, I believe he was from Detroit, actually, mm-hmm. and served in Iraq, came back. 6 months later, found himself homeless in his car. Mm-hmm. This gentleman had a girlfriend at the time, and once I think she went to the shelter and he made his way down to VEO. Fast forward 6 months later, now this guy is scheduled to be married. Hopefully I get an invite. he is, and now he's on his way to dental school. And those wow. And found wow. a job and now is moving on himself. And those are the type of stories that you cannot buy. Mm-hmm. But it comes through your time, your talent, and your treasury and mm-hmm. your support for VEO.
Right, right. And it sounds like you provide the opportunity, the veteran provides the motivation, and then with that combined together, there's no limit to
absolutely.
What their success may be.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, that success is defined by an individual.
Exactly. Well, the issue is that, unfortunately, Washington has tried to define success. Mm-hmm. And you tell me how they've done in mm-hmm. terms of if they've been successful with that or not.
Not too good.
Our job is to focus on what is success for that individual, and then how do we create that opportunity for that individual. If a person is more aligned to do what it is they choose to do, mm-hmm. As long as it's supportive and positive, we're all for that success.
Well, glad to hear that, and all the good work that you're doing in the community, not only here locally, but
absolutely.
Nationwide. So if listeners want to get involved or learn more about your organization, please share with them now.
Well, we love you for you to get involved, either our Serve a Vet, our Hire a Vet, or our Adopt a Vet. Go to our website, www.veohero.org, and actually this Thursday, we are having our social mixer at the Commerce Club from 6:30 to 8:30. Look forward to having you there, especially you corporate folks.
Okay, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Commerce Club.
Commerce Club.
And that's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
All right, very good. And do you have any other social media outlets that people can find you
we
on?
We do.
As well?
Well, it's actually, if you go to veohero.org, we have a Facebook page. Just type it in. We've got a Twitter page. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to more of your support.
Great, great. Right. Thank you very much for coming
Thank
in
you,
today.
Ryan.
Thank you for all the good work. Keep up the continued success. And have a wonderful rest of your Veterans Day.
Thank you. You yeah. too.
All right.
Ryan, great job so far.
Thank you.
Just been doing some social media Twittering here and getting the word out. But it would be remiss. We didn't mention your service at the top of the show. So share with our listeners a little bit about your military experience.
Certainly. Yeah. I was U.S. Army Combat Infantryman 2005-2010. Stationed in a few places overseas in Iraq, 07 to 08. Was wounded in Iraq in 2008 and ultimately discharged afterwards, but couldn't be happier and more proud to serve today, and I would continue to serve if they would let me. So.
And I know you don't mention a lot, but you have an award as well, right, for your service?
Yeah, we was, you know, a couple awards, but was just proud to serve in the military in general, absolutely. All right, so we're going to introduce our next guest here today. He's with the Wounded Warrior Project alumni, and he is part of the Warriors to Work specialist, Mr. Jason Larrivee. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Brian. Thanks.
Thank you for coming into our show today, and begin with telling us your personal either military service and what Veterans Day means to you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I served in the United States Navy from 2000-2004 aboard the guided missile frigate USS DeWart, which has recently got decommed, so... Mm. A little sad about that, but we'll get over it. I served as an electronics warfare technician, second class, for 4 years before receiving injury and, mm-hmm. and ultimately getting out of the military.
And then you're now working with the Wounded Warrior Project office here in Atlanta?
Correct.
How long you been there?
I've been there just under 3 years. I serve as the Warriors to Work specialist.
Mm-hmm.
What that is basically Brandon touched upon it a little earlier. What we do is we help with everything that's employment-related, whether it be setting realistic expectations, writing resumes, networking with employers, setting hiring fairs mm-hmm. across the state. Here in our Atlanta office, we cover Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. So we stay pretty busy, but we're doing the best we can.
And so you help warriors get their resume together and find particular job employment in their line of work as well? Are you in touch with a lot of employers?
Yes. Actually, we have a hiring event right here on Peachtree coming up this Friday on the 14th. We have about 30 employers coming out and mm-hmm. over 60 warriors. We do these hiring events a little differently than career fairs.
Mm-hmm.
We find them a little bit more effective. The warriors are coming in with knowledge of open job descriptions that we get from the employers ahead of time. The employers are coming to the hiring fair with resumes ahead of time, so they have time to do the due diligence and really do the research and, mm-hmm. and see if any of these warriors are good fits.
Can you mention any of the companies that are going to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. Across the state of Atlanta, I mean, Lowe's is a big friend of ours here in the Warriors to Work team. McKesson mm-hmm. Medical Supplies will be there. We have a program that we started with the NFL as far as officiating. They will be there on Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of course, you don't go right to the NFL.
No, I can't be an umpire on Sundays.
Absolutely. We have a couple staffing agencies. We're extremely efficient with working with staffing agencies because they have jobs all across the mm-hmm. board. So when you have such a vast array of warriors coming into our office, it's more efficient to have more broad ranges of jobs. So.
Right. And I know you guys work with a lot of warriors with along a broad range of disabilities. Tell me, what are some of the challenges there?
Well, to tell you the truth, as far as the Warriors to Work team is concerned, the main challenge is working with employers and filling in the gaps for them. At the end of the day, us veterans in here, I mean, we represent 1% of the population.
Yeah.
Educating the other 99% is the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Acclimation back into, I mean, regular society, I mean, non-military society is, mm-hmm. is a big thing with warriors nowadays. But Brandon hit it right in the head. I mean, it's not a diagnosis. It's a temporary problem that we can fix for
mm-hmm.
them. And a lot of times that's just correlating their military skills into civilian skills and putting it on paper for them. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah, just wording it in a certain way that a civilian employer may understand. You know, for your person, you worked on electronic warfare stuff. And so, you know, how does that translate into the civilian world?
That's a perfect example. I mean, it doesn't translate at all into what I'm doing now. I didn't have the Wounded Warrior Project when I got out. Actually,
right.
I did. I just didn't utilize them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in a completely different field. And that's because I didn't know how to correlate it. I mean, mm-hmm. I could have gone into electronics, but mm-hmm. the veterans, the service organizations, the VSOs really struck a chord in my heart, and I kind of pursued it.
Good, good. And so with that, helping the veterans and getting them prepared to go out on these job interviews, do you do any coaching or training along those lines, how to present themselves or what to talk about as well?
Absolutely. We do that in a couple different ways. We have a program called Interview Stream, where we can actually send a program out to the Warriors. They can do a live interview with their webcam, and we can go ahead and critique it and send them back advice. Or
using technology to its advantage right
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And we also do mock interviews in-house, which seems to be the most effective. A lot of times just getting the jitters out and doing repetition through interviews is the best way to do it, as far as I'm concerned.
Just practice, 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 getting ready to be in front of that potential employer. Very good. Is there anything particularly that Wounded Warrior Project is doing today to honor veterans?
Absolutely, yes. We have a couple parades, actually more than a couple parades. We're doing it in 37 different locations.
Around the country today?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're up over 16 offices now, and coming from 2003, where we started with three people packing comfort backpacks in a basement for wounded soldiers in Walter Reed. We have now moved to, I think it's over 500 employees now, over 15 offices nationwide.
Wow.
Yeah, so it shows a definite need for the organization. We're extremely, extremely grateful for that.
Aren't you, the Wounded Warrior Project, doing a hashtag campaign today, something to, you know, kind of generate word on social media?
Absolutely. Yeah, we started a campaign called Hashtag Veterans Day Is, and it really gives society an opportunity to really go on social media and tell what exactly Veterans Day means to them, because it means so much to different people. So you can go on Facebook using the hashtag Veterans Day Is, and just let us know what you think.
What your personal thoughts and your personal feelings about Veterans Day.
Absolutely. It gives us a chance to really take some advice from the country as well, and what we can be doing better, and what programs they'd like to see, and what we can improve on. So.
Right. A good way to use social media to get that word onto community level about what veterans need and how you as an organization can help that. That's good. So is there a number nationwide within the Wounded Warrior Project? How many members or alumni do you have?
Just reached over 54,000. It's a huge milestone for us. And like I said, in just over 10 years, it's amazing. And by 2017, we are going to be up over 100,000 is our projection. It's just amazing to hit that many people in such a short amount of time. And I really, it's because of our programs. I mean, Warriors to Work is just one of our 20 different unique programs that we offer at Wounded Warrior Project. And we cover everything from mental health. We cover everything from Warriors to Work assistance. Our alumni team is extremely effective at getting these guys out of their homes when sometimes they just don't want to leave or they feel more comfortable in their homes. PTSD is a huge issue as far as alumni is concerned. And just getting them back out and getting them talking to other warriors who are afflicted with the same injury, sometimes that's all they need. And then they're back on the track. It's really the broad range of injuries is it's so broad that it's very difficult to pinpoint it to one condition. So that's why we use our 20 different programs to really give them a holistic opportunity to go through the program and find out what they need.
And not only just helping the veteran, but the veteran's caregivers and family members and supporting their support group is a huge part of it, I imagine, as well.
Absolutely, yes. We do serve caregivers as well. Every program that's offered to the warrior is also offered to the caregiver. And all these, everything that we offer is free of charge, whether it's to the employer, to the warrior. Wounded Warrior Project will never charge a dime.
That's good. I remember in 2008 when I came off the battlefield, I got a backpack full of clothes and there was an iPod in there, but none of it was branded. It was all random stuff. It was a Houston Rockets backpack, had a Nike shirt, a Reebok bag, and this, that, and the other. But now things are coming to you in a nice package, Wounded Warrior package. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's our signature program is our backpack program. We are actually in Landstuhl, Germany as well. We have an office out there. So we're really getting to the guys as soon as they get to the medical facility, before they get sent back to the United States for further care. And it's extremely important. I mean, I'm sure you can understand, Ryan. You get put in a position where you don't necessarily feel at home. Your family's not here. You're injured. And it all happens so fast that when you're laying in a hospital bed in a hospital gown, don't exactly feel like yourself. So
no,
really how our program started, like I touched upon earlier, is filling these comfort item backpacks full of toiletries. There's socks in there. You'll ask any of the warriors, their favorite thing is the beanie that we include in the backpacks. Just keep warm in those hospital beds. So that's all it is comfort items.
It is. And what got that backpack, and the other thing that I got that I still cherish to this day was a handmade quilt called Quilt of Valor, and it was made by these old ladies somewhere, and it still hangs on my bed today. But the two things I got was that quilt and the backpack from Wounded Warrior Project. And so, yeah. But you're right, having that comfort item that reminds you of home or something to give you that feeling of comfort is very important.
I'm glad you said that. That Quilt of Valor program is amazing. Mm-hmm. And at the Wounded Warrior Project, we're not trying to kid ourselves. We understand that this is a huge issue nowadays with warriors coming back, and we understand it takes a village. So. Mm-hmm. It was funny walking in here. I recognized three or four people just from meetings we have, because it literally does take a village. I mean, every nonprofit can offer something, but as one large unit helping these warriors, so that's where the most effective.
Sure, sure. The veteran community, when they get home, supports each other like no other, and it's great actually to be in a room full of guys who are continuing that mission. So that is awesome. So any more information about the Warriors to Work program? You mentioned that event on Friday. Any other thing coming down the line you'd like to share?
We do the hiring events bi-quarterly. So bi-yearly. Yeah. So our next one will be in Birmingham, Alabama. I know it doesn't help out our Atlanta too much, but we will be bringing hiring events back. They're mandatory for us two times a year now. We're just finding them to be so effective. The networking piece is just worth its weight in gold. So we do have smaller events where I network and connect with employers, where we'll have five or six employers out just to come out and really provide some career coaching directly to these warriors, and a lot of times do some live hiring day of.
Oh, great. And can you share with our listeners some recent success stories of warriors you've been able to get back into successful work?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking at one of them. I mean, Ryan went through the program. He went a different route, but he's familiar with the Warriors to Work team. We placed over 1,900 people last year with an average salary of just over $40,000.
So, I mean, that's the nation or just here in Atlanta?
In the nation.
Okay.
Just here in Atlanta, it was just over 111.
Wow, that's so good.
But nationwide, the 1,900 placements with an average salary of over $40,000 is a $75 million economic impact. It's just, it's amazing, and it's long overdue.
And you're finding more requests from employers to hire veterans? Because what they bring to the table is such unique skills, and so
absolutely, yeah. I mean, veterans are desirable. It's just a matter of getting these veterans in front of the warriors, and like we touched upon earlier, the correlation of the military skills into civilian terms. It's just it's extremely difficult for these guys to come in and brag about themselves, which is absolutely necessary in the resume process nowadays. We're taught to show up here, do this, and do it well, but there's no need to log it afterwards. There's no need to document it. So what we really teach them is start a brag sheet. Start putting your skills on paper. This is the time where you have to show these employers what you're worth. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what's in it for them. So
that's right, and it's your future in your hands. And so present your best foot forward always. All right, please tell our listeners how to get in touch with either the Wounded Warrior Project or get involved if they're a warrior themselves and need to get your special advice on getting back into the workforce.
Absolutely. You can go to the same place, whether you want to get involved or you're a warrior looking to become an alumni. Go to woundedwarriorproject.org. That is the most effective way, given our 20 programs, to ensure that you get in touch with the right people in the most efficient manner. So go to woundedwarriorproject.org, right-hand side of the page, our tab, all the tabs you're going to need, whether it be economic empowerment, which the Warriors to Work team falls under. And all you have to do is register as an alumni. It's a 5-10 minute process.
Good. And social media outlets, how can we find you there?
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and I suggest you the next couple of days use the hashtag Veterans Day Is.
Veterans Day Is, all one word, and then talk your personal story about what Veterans Day means to you.
Absolutely. We want to know what it means to you.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, we want to hear everybody's perspective on Veterans Day here today. Well, thank you, Jason, for joining us in the studio. I know everybody will be reaching out to you to get involved with your organization. Thank you, sir. All right, moving along here today, we are excited to have our next guest from Kellen Company. They are a big association management and communications firm, and our representative here today is Mr. Zach Rogers. How are you?
How you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. So welcome to the show. Please tell us your personal, what does Veterans Day mean to you?
I mean, follow what the two other gentlemen said before me. It's a day. You know, a day is not enough. It should be the whole year to thank the men and women who give sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. You know, they give up their lives. They give up their days. They give up their they go away from home. They're not here. You know, they leave their family, their friends. And a lot of times they come back and it's not the same anymore. And a lot of people don't realize what they go through over there.
Right.
I've had some family members over there, so I've heard some stories that you know, I don't know. Some stories I do hear.
Right.
So, but there are a lot of things that happen that to them.
So it definitely is one of those days during the year where we want to take a moment to recognize and appreciate those men and women who've served.
Yes, sir.
Oh, very good. And then how long have you been working with Kellen & Company?
I've been with Kellen & Company for 10 years.
10 years.
The company's been around 50 years. Mm-hmm. We just celebrated our 50th birthday. Mm-hmm. We have offices in Chicago, New York, D.C., Beijing, Brussels.
International.
International.
Okay.
Denver.
Oh. Do you get to travel?
I've been to Denver, and it's about the only one I've been to.
Okay.
Being in the staff controller, you know, we're kind of behind the scenes, but we do touch the books and we touch the work daily. Mm-hmm. So,
and you are in the accounting department, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you also head up the fundraising department. Fundraising for the Wounded Warrior Project, is that right?
Yes, sir. What we have is a team at Kellen called Team Keiko.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a team building for our group. Each of our offices have their own team. So they do events each month. So that, mm-hmm. 1 month we might do a dessert day where the employees will bring in their favorite dessert that they make from home. And then we have a judging. You know, we have a picnic. Actually, this year, instead of doing the picnic, we actually went bowling for team building.
Oh.
Looking at all the months with doing an event, we had an open month about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I had been to an event at my mom's company where they did a hot dog fundraiser for, I think it was breast cancer or heart awareness.
All right.
And I thought, you know, hey, everyone has to eat lunch. Why not raise some money for an important organization? So we came up with the event. Then we threw out a couple names for organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We have some individuals who have sons, daughters. You know, my uncle, my dad served. Mm-hmm. I have my brother-in-law served. So came down to the vote, and everyone voted for Wounded Warrior to be the organization that we would support. So,
so now you do a lunch and donation time. Is that right?
We do. We have about a three-hour period down in the lobby of our building. So we have two buildings. It's one's 10 stories, one's 6 stories with a bunch of offices. So we have in a bunch of doctor's offices. So we have people visiting there. But we do 3-hour lunch down in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And we serve a $5 hot dog lunch that comes with hot dog, baked beans, coleslaw, chips, drink,
delicious.
Desserts.
I'm getting hungry over here, Rich.
Yeah,
time
too.
For lunch
yeah,
yet?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's all for $5, so you know, you can't beat it.
Mm-hmm. So for 3 hours, I can eat all the hot dogs and beans I want.
Actually, you know, we went from you could have as many as you want. $5.
Yeah.
Get you a meal.
Right. So $5 donation goes to the Wounded Warrior Project. Can you tell us how much you've raised over the last 3 years?
Actually, the first year we'd sold 135 hot dog meals. But we raised $850.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, it's not just the hot dogs we're selling. We have individuals who will walk by and say, hey, I see what you're doing. Thanks a lot. Here's 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had someone hand me a $100 bill for a $5 meal, and I went to give them the change. Now keep the change.
That's great.
So the second year, you know, we sold 160 hot dogs.
Okay.
And these past two years, we're sending out individuals out to go get more supplies because we're running out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just within our building. And we sold 160 the second year, and we raised $1,100.
That's great.
And this past year, we sold over 200 hot dog meals, and we raised $1,500 that went to Wounded Warrior.
Well, keep up the good work. And I'm sure not only the money is welcomed for the Wounded Warrior Project, but just the awareness overall and getting the word out about, you know, veterans' needs. That's
right.
it is priceless there.
And the amount of people that you see walk by, the veterans, the individuals, we actually have a cafe on our bottom, on the floor, that we do the hot dog lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year that we did it, he came running out wondering why all his business was kind of slow that day.
Yeah.
And the minute he saw what we were doing it for, he goes, whatever you need, let me know. And so this year he actually supplied the baked beans for us.
That. So yeah. You take a little business away from him, but he recognizes the good work that you're doing. So,
correct.
You know, when do you do this event?
Last year we did it around 4th of July.
Okay.
But the first 2 years we did it around Memorial Day, you know, especially when everyone's thinking about, you know, Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish we could do it twice a year. I mean, the way it's getting popular, we may actually try to go for 2 times a year.
Oh, that Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
That would work.
There you go. And how do you get the word out to your employees or anybody else in the building that would want to join?
We'll send out an email through the building management. Mm-hmm. They'll send out an email the day before the event,
mm-hmm.
and then also the day before we put up signs. And like I said, with it being a building where we have a ton of medical and doctor's visits, we try to do it on a Tuesday or Thursday, which is the clinical day where a lot of the people are coming in for the visits. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've noticed that we've sold more on those two days. So, which was just the word out through the email and mm-hmm. just putting up signs in the building.
Well, you must be very proud of the good work that you're doing, and the company certainly is probably very proud of you, even on the international level. They may know about you in Beijing for all the good work you're doing here in the Atlanta area. So please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with either your company or yourself over there at Kellen & Company.
Well, they can go to www.kellencompany.com. That's mm-hmm. K-E-L-L-E-N, company mm-hmm. spelled out, .com. And we know we specialize in professional services for association management to professional societies, trade associations, mm-hmm. and nonprofit organizations.
And so the website, is there a phone number?
I have my phone number. It's
go ahead.
678-303-2956.
Okay.
And then my email is also zrogers@kellencompany.com.
Thank you very much, Zach, for coming in this morning, and keep up the good work that you're doing over there at Kellen & Company for all the veterans here locally. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, and next on our list of amazing guests, continue this great experience for our listeners, is Mr. George Orlandini. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
George is a veteran of the United States Army with 2 combat deployments as an infantry officer. After the end of his military service, George volunteered to lead the local Atlanta chapter of Team Red, White, and Blue, whose mission is to enrich the lives of American veterans by connecting them to their community through social and physical activity. All right. Well, I just saw you at the parade this Saturday. We had a great time out there, didn't we?
Indeed, we did. It was a great event.
It really was. Good social event, good message for all veterans out there. Please tell us a little more about the mission of Team Red, White, and Blue.
So like you said, Ryan, Team RWB exists to connect our veterans with their communities through physical and social activities. What we've seen, you know, through studies is that there exists a lot of organizations such as Wounded Warrior Project that take, you know, our wounded veterans and kind of assist them. But there's not very many organizations that impact our soldiers and our airmen, our Coast Guardmen, all our veterans as they leave the service and kind of help them mm-hmm. connect with their communities. About 40% of people who get out of the military go back to their hometown. So you think about it, 60% of them end up in a new city, a new town, a new area where they don't know anybody, and they kind of feel a disconnect. And I kind of felt the same thing when I got out a couple mm-hmm. years ago, because I'm originally from Miami, but I'm moving to Atlanta. And, you know, I come to Atlanta, and thankfully, you know, I had my wife then, and, you know, I had someone to connect to, and she's a veteran as well. Mm. And but for the most part, trying to meet with people who don't understand what your service is, you know, it's 1% of the, you know, the American population has served and understands what it means to be a veteran. Mm-hmm. And the other 99% really don't. And you get the, you know, random questions like, oh, what was it like over there? Was it hot?
Yeah, right.
Did Iraq hot?
What did you eat?
Yeah, you know. So the what we do with Team RWB is we take these, you know, these veterans as they come out of, you know, the service and kind of help them connect to their communities. So we're not only just a veteran organization, we're also a civilian organization mm-hmm. as well. We have civilian and veteran members. And what we do is as veterans come into the group, they're introduced to a group of civilians that that want to get connected with veterans, want to help them out, and kind of show our veterans as they come out that, hey, you know, you're not alone.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we do that through social activities. Like we just said, the Atlanta Veterans Day Parade we just did mm-hmm. this last weekend was a great event, and, you know, not a very physical thing, just a short walk, but, you know, a great thing. Mm-hmm. And then also we had it with, you know, just come out to a local 5K. You know, thankfully Atlanta is a very physical town, and you can't throw a rock on the weekend and not hit a 5K going on somewhere.
Always something going on.
So, you know, it's kind of helpful to us, you know, for, you know, you think about it, you know, one thing we all have in common in the military is we all did physical training at some point, and that's normally what we did every morning. So, mm-hmm. you know, as our veterans come out, we give them that outlet, you know, it says, hey, you're coming with a group that understands you, a group that wants to care about you, and we want to make sure that, you know, you are connected with your community. So it's a great organization. I'm definitely proud. I mean, we've grown a lot mm-hmm. in the last the Atlanta chapter is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Atlanta chapter, how to get started, mm-hmm. and all that.
So Atlanta chapter started, I guess, officially last March. So we're just coming up on our 2-year birthday here soon. It was we had a handful of signups that were just kind of sprinkled around the city, but then we linked up myself and other few individuals in my leadership team. I got Ben Hunter, who is actually a civilian member, works as a banker not too far away from mm-hmm. here. I've got Ben Molinix, who you know, very familiar to VEO as our community outreach director. I've got Amy Bronson, who actually works with United Way, and she is our social director. And then we've got Lillian Norton, who's also a combat veteran, and she is our veterans outreach director. So she's you know, I got a great team in place. And once we did that, signups just started flowing in. We're closing in on 500 members here pretty quickly. It's definitely one of these things that every day I check my email, and sure enough, there's always another, hey, you got a new sign up, you got a new sign up, and hey, I saw you at this event, or hey, I saw you guys' website, and there's something I want to participate in. So it's definitely been something that's been a you know, a great experience for me, just not just on a you know, on a service orange, but just on a personal level, just being to connect with other fellow veterans, just let them know, it's like, hey, you know, anything you guys need, and you know, and great, thankfully we've been able to partner with great organizations here in Atlanta like VEO. Just recently, just a few months ago, we had a someone reached out to us from you know, one of our fellow RWB chapters, says, hey, we got a veteran that's in Atlanta sleeping on somebody's couch. He's kind of going, falling back into some bad behaviors. You know, we're trying to, you know, help him out. Can you help us out? And, you know, through my leadership team that I have in place, we were able to reach out to VEO. They were able to, you know, extend a helping hand. And he's, you know, and we got him moved to where, you know, with family, he's getting taken care of. He's doing great now. You know, so it's not just, you know, we're just here to make sure you run 5K on the weekends. Also make sure we're taking care of you as well.
You're living a healthy and a prosperous lifestyle as well. That's good. And so the Atlanta chapter, you said over 500 members now. And
closing in on 500.
Just under 2 years. And so some of the other activities that you do are the 5Ks and the fun runs, the parade.
Yeah, we do 5Ks, 10Ks. We had people run the Savannah Marathon last weekend. It's not just a running organization. A lot of people look at Team RDB and, you know, they think, oh, they're just a running club, which we're not, you know. We participate in a lot of, we've got some great partnerships with the Atlanta Dream, the Atlanta Hawks, the Falcons, and the Braves. They've always extended out to us, say, hey, just let me know how many people you want to come, and we'll make sure that your veterans come out.
Events,
and we just all get together, go enjoy a ball game together, just, you know, get our veterans and our civilian, you know, community together, and let's go have fun at an event. You know, we put together a, you know, 1 year barbecue picnic where everyone just came out and did some hot dogs.
I was there this summer. We had a great barbecue.
With the American Legion. And, just a great event to have people come out.
Does it cost anyone, civilian or veteran, to get involved or be part?
Absolutely not. It's
no charge at all.
Completely free to join. No financial commitment whatsoever on either side. If you want to donate, you're more than welcome to, but, never will anybody reach out to you and say, hey, welcome Team RWB, where's your $20?
Right. So it doesn't cost anything to get involved, and you can meet all types of great people while you're out there. So why aren't you signed up today? So what are some of the other services you provide our veterans and the civilian community?
And I kind of already hit on that, you know, with just our biggest thing really is connecting our veterans to their community. You know, a lot of people had that disconnect coming out of the military saying, you don't understand what I've been through, especially as a recent veteran in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's like, you don't understand what I've been through. So I don't really want to talk to, you know, just regular person working on the, you know, working in, you know, banking here in Atlanta. So by connecting to their community, you know, they make them understand that, you know, there are people who at least want to try and understand and want to just provide that bridge for them and not make them feel that, you know, well, I can only really talk with my veteran brothers. I mean, granted, you know, a veteran-to-veteran connection is something that a veteran and civilian connection will never have, but it's just nice for our veterans to know that they're, that they are, you know, they're respected, they're well taken care of, and, you know, there's aid out there if they need it. And like I kind of hit with the VEO, you know, it's a great partnership we're building right there, and I'm very thankful for them for reaching out to us, and, you know, it's a great partnership, and I really appreciate that.
Love it. Yeah, me personally, Team Red, White, and Blue, you know, gives me that sense of community that I had in the military. You know, you get that camaraderie and that kind of committed to a focused goal, and whether it be finishing a race or just marching in a parade together. So for me personally, that's what I love about Team Red, White, and Blue, is having that group of people I can turn to whenever I need some social or athletic outlets. And so anything else about Team Red, White, and Blue you want to share, or even your personal story? I forgot to ask you about that, what Veterans Day means to you.
So Veterans Day to me is, you know, as a veteran, it's, you know, a special day. But, I mean, it, like everyone kind of hinted at, you know, Veterans Day is really kind of every day for me. You know, it's a, you know, my service is something I hold very dear. You know, no regrets. You know, I've definitely had great days and bad days in my service. But, you know, Veterans Day, just, you know, I'm just very thankful for all the great soldiers that I served with. You know, I've was blessed with great leaders that molded me into the man I am today. I was, you know, blessed with great soldiers who, you know, supported everything that I did. And, you know, they made me a success, you know, in the military and out. So, you know, today is not really about me. It's about them. And it's
and about
one of
the ones who served before us. Those guys who paved the way for us to serve.
And so it's, you know, one of those things that I'm just very, very thankful for, just my experiences and then the people I was thankful to serve with. Kind of one thing I did want to hit on is coming up this Saturday, we do have an event at Iron Tribe Fitness
in
Atlanta.
There.
Yes, you will. Saw your sign up. it's what we call WOD with Warriors. A WOD is a workout of the day. It's a CrossFit-type functional fitness event. where, you know, very scalable. If, you know, you're not used to working out or if you're in great shape, you know, you'll get a workout either way. It's, you know, one of our other partnerships with Iron Tribe, our functional fitness gym here in nationally. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a kind of our Veterans Day Wad with Warriors. We do the Wad with Warriors twice a year during Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And so free to sign up, free to come out. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just Google Wad with Warriors and it'll take you to the sign up page. And just be there Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Rich, you going to be there? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Rich, ready to work
Sorry,
out.
Sorry, I've been doing all the social media, whatever. Yeah,
that's all right. No, we're
glad. I'm working out on the keyboard. That's about the extent of it.
Keep those fingers moving.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so that's this Saturday, Wad with Warriors at Iron Tribe Fitness in East Cobb.
Correct.
Tell our listeners also how they can get involved with Red, White, and Blue or learn more about your organization.
Mm-hmm. So, to get involved with Team RWB, it's very, very simple. Go to our website at www.teamrwb.org. And when you're there, if you want to sign up, like I said, completely free. If you are a veteran, just please mark down that you are a veteran, and we'll get a notification. Then you'll get sent a link, which will have a quick survey, just kind of describe your service. And after that's completed, it'll say, what's your mailing address? Mm-hmm. And then you'll get one of our Team RWB shirts. We actually recently just partnered with Nike as an organization nationally, so the shirts are very, very nice. And like I said, completely free to our veteran members. Mm-hmm. You know, the civilian members, you know, a little bit of a charge there for them. But you know, for all our fundraising that we do, one of our biggest essential costs is providing, you know, these shirts to our veterans, because that's our brand, that's how we get ourselves out there, and it just provides that sense of uniformity to, you know, our members when we show up. You know, you go to a 5K here in Atlanta, you're going to see a red, white, and blue eagle running around somewhere.
I think it's one of the most recognizable logos.
It sure is.
Behind the Wounded Warrior Project one, but two of my favorite ones there. And social media as well. You've got Twitter and Facebook.
So we're more active on Facebook.
Okay.
Like I said, we're still very young as a chapter here in Atlanta. I mean, nationally, we're crossing over 60,000 members so far.
Okay.
And this is just in a few years. And we have chapters all over the country. Mm-hmm. If you want to find us on Facebook, just look up Team RWB Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get directly in contact with me, you can just email me at atlanta@teamrwb.org. And that's a direct link to me, and I'll be able to get in touch with you and answer any other questions.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for sharing your story as well as Team Red, White, and Blue's mission. We believe that to be one of the finest organizations around town. Rich, do you have any questions for our guests at this time?
Well, there's been a lot of activity on social media, speaking of that. That's what I've been working on behind the scenes right here. And, it's just it's lighting up here. But a lot of great photos have been taken of all the guests as they've been interviewed. And, I saw your photos for the parade on Saturday. So, having said that, I know there's some people taking some notes. And so maybe before we wrap up, some...
any questions or comments to the other guests?
Yeah.
Well, just wanted to put out there, VEO, we don't charge our vets. The only eligibility that we focus on is that you served. Mm-hmm. If you served, you've got a bet. We currently have 90 beds in our facility. We house 100 vets. Mm-hmm. We do offer services to women, but we only house the men. For obvious reasons, just in terms of space. Mm-hmm. Like I said, veohero.org. Look forward to having you guys come out. And if anyone out there knows a vet that's going through rough times or knows a vet that has found himself on the streets, feel free to give them to VEO, and we'll take care of the rest.
Yeah, glad to hear that. And with holidays coming up, we know weather getting colder. We know this is going to be an issue that we want to take charge of here.
Absolutely.
So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Anything else, gentlemen? Comments, questions, concerns?
I know there is some correspondence to Zach's point that we may have a donation from Vienna Beef. They're interested in donating the hot dogs, possibly, whatever, yes.
That'll work.
All right.
It all adds up, whatever, right?
Yeah. Franks and beans.
Yeah. We're still working on the beans. We don't have a commitment there yet. Yeah.
That's funny.
I'd like to add a couple more things, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please,
after
please
listening
share.
To everyone talk, I mean, the wide array of programs that we offer, kind of forget some things sometimes.
Okay, go ahead.
But as far as the giving back, as the fundraiser that Zachary did over here, we have a giving back tab, which is on our woundedwarriorproject.org page. That's the easiest way to make a donation to us. You can either do it a one-time donation monthly or set up some sort of community event like Zach did. We don't take any government funds whatsoever, so we're completely private funded, or privately funded by citizens like Zach. So
no government.
Not a dime.
Nothing. Okay. No.
That's an interesting question for all of our guests. How many folks, where do their funds come from? Is it government or corporate sponsorships? Are you guys looking for that? Or personal donations? If you had to run a percentage, Brandon, like
VEO, it's personal donations, okay. Private dollars. We don't take a dime as well. And the thing is that the government is very important to put this out there. There's certain regulations that don't allow us to do what we need to do in terms of addressing the needs that are out there for our vets.
Mm-hmm. And that was my next question. I figured that kind of the answer. So then it kind of ties your hands, whatever. It comes with strings attached,
exactly.
Right? So,
right, exactly. Yeah. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Really unfortunate.
But I mean, the government has some programs. I mean, but it's great to see individuals just kind of stepping up because I think it's more personal attention. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times it's all about timing. Brandon touched on that earlier. And really not having that red tape, the bureaucratic red tape to sidestep, really, it saves lives at times. So it's extremely important.
It can be the
and
difference.
I would like to point out, too, that I went and toured Brandon's facility a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the most impressive VSO facilities I've seen in Atlanta.
All right.
I was
go check it
blown
out.
Away. Absolutely. Yeah. Take a tour. Please see what you can do to help.
Go visit.
We appreciate that PSA.
Yeah, speaking of the government involvement, we did a show this morning, Atlanta Legal Experts. Ryan was on there co-hosting with Emily, and we had a lot of folks in, veterans, and served in Vietnam.
Yeah, they had some Vietnam Veterans Business Association members here who are now lawyers and will do some free pro bono work for veterans looking to with their claim with the VA. Right.
They mentioned the similar point came up, is that they don't take a government donations because it could be, but the process can take up to 4 years.
In some cases, if you have a disability that's not connected to the service, it takes longer to get that paperwork processed. And they help you out in those cases because it can be overwhelming for an individual to try to deal with such a huge entity like the VA.
And that goes back to my earlier comment when we were talking about the issue of time. That's what this is an issue of. It's a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, people don't have time. You know, it could take you 6 months, 9 months, a year to get any kind of benefits back. And then that's depending on if you're able to make your appointments. Mm-hmm. And then not only looking at if you're able to make your appointments, but now you're talking about, well, you need a house, you need a phone. Mm-hmm. The simple things that we take for granted can mean the biggest differences when it comes
and
to
getting
our
them
attorney.
In a timely manner to the veteran.
Because you made a great point earlier, is that you know, the rent payment can't wait. You know,
right?
You know,
the phone bill can't wait.
Well, the phone maybe whatever, but
exactly.
But yeah, definitely. I mean, so it's nice to be able to just be proactive and take, you know, address the needs right there at this level. Yeah, right. George, what are your percentage of fundings? How does that kind of break down from corporate, from personal, or
so we take
government?
We get, you know, funding from all sorts of, you know, we do have corporate sponsorship essentially. You know, I think we've partnered with Kraft, we've partnered with Nike. You know, they make large donations. Like I said, Nike is the one that's providing us with our Team RWB jerseys that we wear and our long sleeve shirts and everything. We also do, you know, local fundraisers. You know, sometimes we just get selected as a, you know, charity. Last year, a local law firm held a charity golf tournament, and they selected us as the beneficiary, and it was a $10,000 event for us.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, it was one of those out of the blue. You know, the son of one of the head attorneys, he was a veteran as well, a classmate of mine at West Point, and he said, hey, I know this great group, and he said, hey, I definitely want to pick you guys. And I was like, wow, I had no idea, but thank you very much. And it was like,
yeah, speaking of events, for each of the gentlemen, what is your most successful fundraising event? You just mentioned, I think, the golf.
Yeah, so normally our largest fundraising events normally come from, you know, like I said, a fundraising event. You know, something I have a charity golf tournament, or for example, we just recently ran a 5K called the Anything Is Possible 5K. Mm-hmm. And that, as an organization, is we are beneficiaries of that organization. That was one of those races that started right at daylight savings time at 1 o'clock in the morning. So when you finish your 5K, you actually ended before you started because of the time change.
And, so I could do that because no one would catch me sleeping on the curb or whatever.
It'd be perfect for you, Rich.
It'd be perfect for me. Yeah.
But you know, and then also we have private donors as well on our website. If you know you just want to make a donation, just privately, just because you want to support the organization, it says, you know, make a donation, and you can just automatically link to us.
So, Jason, what's your single most successful event where you raise the most funds?
Actual physical event, as far as being the most successful, Tough Mudder is a huge supporter of ours. They're sponsored by Dos Equis, I believe, and Tough Mudder is not us. But, yeah, they raise millions annually. It's a huge, huge event. But as far as our fundraising, direct mailers is our most successful way of fundraising.
Private donations.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Brandon?
Well, I would say with VEO, a lot of it is our online social media campaign. The Adopt a Vet is a major beneficiary where people can go on and give us thousands. You know, some people have given us 2,000 or 3,000at a time. Also, just to mention, when the executive director first started the organization, he put a large percentage of some dollars into the organization to get it afloat. Because at the time, the veterans crisis wasn't nearly as pivotal as it is today. And so I would say online social media campaigns is our biggest fundraiser.
And who is the executive director again?
Franz K. Fortune.
Right. So we'll have a show just Buckhead Business Radio X for all about business. And so we may have you and Franz back, or one or two of you come back and talk about business in the community. Because obviously this is a special episode for Veterans Day. So Ryan, some closing thoughts or whatever?
A great show. Right? Thank you all very much for coming in today. It was an honor to sit here at the table with fine gentlemen like yourself and learn more about your organizations. I think we should have a show about veterans every day, Rich, and not just once a year.
Well, somebody made that comment, but it is true. It's like...
we're a big part of the community. We're out there actively helping each other and wanting to get the word out about all the veterans
for most
needing
these,
help.
Most of these folks, obviously, it is 365-day effort. Whatever.
Right.
So. And Zach, hot dogs are on their way, so they're
all right.
Thank you
got you covered there.
More money we can give to the charity.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been listening to Buckhead Business Radio X, Veterans Day show, special broadcast. Thank you, everyone, again, and we'll see you down the line.